It is KZSU Stanford. And letting you know, you're in the second hour of the Blues Excursion called Blues of the Feeling. And right now, this is Adrian Costa.
You don't know, you don't know, you don't know. And I don't know what to do. You don't know, you don't know, you don't know. And I don't know what to do. When I see the sun rising, I feel just like a happy fool. I try so hard to make you understand. I try so hard to make you understand. You know my heart has been broken. Now it's broken again. Can you hear me cry now? Oh, child. My heart has been broken. Now it's broken again. I tried so hard to make you understand. I tried so hard to make you understand. You know my heart has been broken. Now it's broken again.
That's Adrian Costa right here on KZSU. Is that live or is that Memorex? I don't know. Adrian Costa, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, Bert.
It's great to have you here. You're actually a Palo Alto resident for the last couple of years, which I kind of knew briefly, but I'm kind of ashamed of the fact that I didn't get you on here quite a while back. This is amazing. You're originally from Spain. You spent the first part of your career all up in Europe, and we're going to get into all of that. That was you playing live. Was that an original tune?
Yes. I wrote that song a couple of years ago for one of my last records with my band in Germany. And yeah, the name of the song is Happy Fool.
Very good. Why don't we take a minute now? Go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience. You are originally from Spain, and we've talked on the phone a few times. You got a very interesting background. Introduce yourself and tell the folks where you're from and where you came up.
Yeah, I grew up in a small town. The name of the town is Santiago de Compostela, and it's interesting place because it's a small, but we had the university, so it's a lot of students and tourists. So it's like something going on all the time. When I was a kid, I had the opportunity to see shows like Charles Brown, B.B. King, Ray Charles, you know, everybody was playing in town.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Like in theaters or outside? Or
It was outside. My first concert that I went, it was Charles Brown.
Wow.
And on guitar, it was
Danny Caron.
Yes.
And Ruth Davies on the bass, the
yes.
Blondes. Yeah. They're from right here in the Bay Area.
I know. So I talked to Danny a couple of times and tried to play with him, but we never find a perfect day for both.
Oh, and, since you've been here in the Bay Area?
Yes.
Okay.
So I would love to play with him because he's one of the reasons that I'm playing guitar nowadays.
No kidding.
Yeah.
He inspired you. How old were you then?
I was 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, that's amazing. So you saw Charles Brown, you saw all those other guys, and how did it begin for you? How'd you get your first guitar
I saw that concert. I was 12, 13 years old, I don't remember, and so I was talking to my mother for about, you know, 3-4 months, like, please buy me a guitar. So one day she was so tired listening to me that she decided to buy me a guitar. So we went to a house of a friend. He had one guitar, and we could pay the guitar in different payments. So we took the guitar home, and since that day, it was a different life for me.
What did you start doing when you got that guitar? Were you able to get any formal lessons? Was it listening to records?
Oh no, we didn't have money to go to any school. But
how did you learn the guitar?
Well, I went to a music store, and I borrowed one CD, put it on my pocket, and get out. And
but you were just borrowing it.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
I was thinking that I will give it to them back, but didn't happen.
What was this CD you got?
It was the King of the Blues guitar, Mr. Albert King.
Wow. And you know, we talked off the phone, and there's a reason why that was. And you mentioned to me the first time we talked that you came from a fairly poor background. You mentioned that your family didn't have a lot of. You guys didn't come from a real well-off, well-to-do.
Yeah, I mean,
money was tight.
My family was the happiest family in town.
Sure,
But yeah, in money-wise, was a little short. But,
yeah,
but because we always live in, like, you know,
simple.
Yeah, if your brother has a pair of new shoes, you got to wait for the next month, you know.
And I only say that too because when you mentioned that part about you borrowed that CD, that was more out of necessity than it was out of it's not that you were into that kind of stuff, just that, well, when you come from that kind of background, you have to do whatever you got to do to try to make it.
Yeah, I just saw the record and I was like, I want it, you know.
And so by listening to that record, and who was it again?
Albert King.
Right. Oh, which one?
King of a Blues guitar.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh,
that's
that had to change your life, man.
Yeah, that record has all the colors you can find in blues.
Were you able to make sense of it on guitar at that earliest stage?
At the very beginning, it was just, I was just trying, but nothing came out of a guitar. First of all, I didn't have an amp until 3 years later.
Was it an acoustic guitar or an electric guitar?
It was electric guitar, but playing by itself. So, I tried to get the sound out of that piece of wood, which is still half, and
so you had to play twice as hard to get some sound out of it, didn't you?
And I was trying to get that, you know, Albert King flying, you know, bang, bang,
ta-dum. And you probably didn't realize when you were young that Albert played upside down.
Yeah,
and he had real loose strings, and he was able to pull those strings down, right?
Right, because at that time, you know, the people didn't have the internet or all information.
Sure,
you know,
right.
So it was hard to, you know, you went to the music store, you buy an LP, and then you go home, and that was the LP of the whole month. So you got to listen, you know, very good, every detail, every song of the record.
Sure.
And you keep B-side for the next day. You know? And
you don't even play the flip side of
it. No.
Just cover that one side.
And you play it a couple of times, and you keep B-side for the next day.
What a trip. Musical economy. economical music, that's what it is. We're talking to Adrian Costa. He's local, right here in Palo Alto. Your wife, your wife's part of the Stanford community. She works here, doesn't she?
Yes.
And so that's how you got here. And you've been here, what, about 2.5 years now?
Yes.
And kind of ensconcing yourself in the Bay Area music scene.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're kind of a fixture down in San Jose at the Poor House.
Mm-hmm.
And you played in the city last night up on Fillmore?
Yeah, I played in a little place. The name is Sheba. I like it a lot. It's a nice ambient.
So you've been getting around. You've been kind of getting yourself kind of tuned into the music, local music scene, and you're constantly playing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That is great. I saw you at the Poor House for the first time by yourself about 2 weeks ago, and you blew my mind, man. You played songs not only better than a lot of guys I've seen play them, but you got an incredible voice, too. And I'm not just here, you know, buttering you up because you're sitting next to me. I'm really impressed. And why don't we do this? Why don't we hear another song by you live? Because you brought some recorded material we're going to get into.
Oh, yes.
You had a major career in Europe for what, over 10 or 15 years?
Yeah. Been playing with my band, Los Reyes del Cao. We played for about 8 years. And before that, I was playing with the Tonky Blues Band for a couple of years and with another band for another 4 or 5 years. So.
And you mentioned 3 years with Guitar Crusher.
Yeah, because he was living in Berlin. It was a great coincidence that we live in the same city, and we start getting together, and finally he won us as his
backup band.
Yeah.
This is amazing because Guitar Crusher is kind of a mystery in the States.
I know.
There's not a lot of stuff out on him, and you have a CD here of all his old stuff. We're going to get into that, too. But right now, Adrian Costa, live on KZSU. Take it away, man.
Your blue round eyes, your wavy hair, I won't go home no more, 'cause you're not there. I'm telling you now like I told you before. Whoa, I'm so in love with you, don't leave me no more. Lipstick traces on a cigarette, every memory linger with me, yeah. I'm telling you now like I told you before. Whoa, I'm so in love with you, don't leave me no more. Won't you come back home? Won't you come back home? Won't you come back home? Baby, come back home. Crazy about you, can't live without you now. Baby, won't you come back home? Lipstick traces on a cigarette, every memory linger with me, yeah. I'm telling you now like I told you before. Whoa, I'm so love with you, don't leave me no more. Let's go to do it one more time, girl. Won't you come back home? Won't you come back home? Won't you come back home? Baby, come back home. I'm crazy about you, can't live without you now. Baby, won't you come back home? Lipstick traces on a cigarette, every memory linger with me, yeah. I'm telling you now like I told you before. Whoa, I'm so in love with you, don't leave me no more. 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 Leave me no more.
Adrian Costa right here on KZSU. That's live in the studio, the man with the sound. And Adrian, that was an incredible rendition of one of my favorites, Mr. Snooks Eaglin.
Yeah.
And what did you see Snooks when you were younger?
No, because, well, you know, Snooks was the first reason that I wanted to come to this country.
Really?
I was planning to just take a plane and go to New Orleans just to meet him.
Wow.
And when that when that thing was possible, I hear the bad news that he passed away.
Oh.
So it was something that I felt so sad and never happened. So
that you didn't get a chance to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was an amazing guy. I did get a chance to see him myself and once at Tipitina's, and what a show it was! It was like watching Ray Charles on a guitar.
Oh yeah, he was.
It was that powerful, man. It was just
no limits.
Yeah, and he was all by himself, just like you. That's what's uncanny about you, because you have his same spirit, and you got that voice too. You're blowing my mind here, man.
He is one of my biggest influences, and the way he does it, he's unique.
Well, you're carrying on in his footsteps. You played, when I saw you at the Poorhouse, you were by yourself, just like you are now, and it was a strong show, man. I mean, you could do it without a drummer and a bass player.
Well, yeah, I used to do it because, of course, it's cheaper.
We talked about that on the phone, too, when we first talked. And talk about that, because it's called busking here in America. You probably call it the same thing in Europe. But you used to play, you said, in the subway?
Oh, yeah. And
and you had a great story about that, where you could get enough money to eat and get a room.
Yeah, it's something.
Talk about that.
Yeah, well, there's just the music business. When you get into a new city and you don't know anybody, and you got to do something. And before you start knowing the people and getting in the clubs, you need to do something. So, I respect and I appreciate a lot the musicians that play in the streets, and it's something that if I have to do it, I will do it again, no problem.
So you were raised in Spain, and your career started there. Where did you go from Spain? Was it just in Spain that you went to these new towns, or you did venture out? Because you mentioned you've been in France, and you've been in Germany too, right?
Yes.
So when you got to these new, not only countries, but new towns, this is what you do? You try to find your way by playing on the street?
Yeah, well, when I get when I leave my little town to the big city, Madrid, I already had a kind of a backup, because a very famous blues musician in the country was playing. My best friend was playing with him, so they talk about me and Tonky de la Peña, who is the blues player in Spain, said to my friend Marcos Coll, the harmonica player of Los Reyes del Cao, said that they want to try me. So I took that train, and I knew that train was not with a return ticket. Yeah.
Oh, you got a one-way ticket to Madrid.
Yes.
And it was like do or die.
Yeah.
And you probably didn't have a lot of money in your pocket either.
Oh, no, not at all. I was begging all over. But
now, did you ever have a regular day job, or was it always playing?
Oh, no, I was always playing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is an amazing story, because this is what happened with the original guys. B.B. King, Muddy Waters, Albert King, they all found out they could make more money on the street corner than either picking cotton or whatever they were doing, working on a plantation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd make more money in one night, B.B. said this, than he'd make it a whole month on the plantation. So that's when he decided, hey, I'm just going to go play. I don't know what's going to happen, but I got to do this because I'm not staying over there.
Yeah, I mean, of course, B.B. King and the people that you're talking about, it has. I've been listening to those records, but nothing to do with me. I come from a little town in Spain, and this language, I learn it. It's not something that that people is their culture. I have a lot of respect for the culture.
Sure.
I appreciate it, but it's not my culture.
But you've absorbed it to the point where in certain points, in certain situations, when somebody absorbs it in such a way, it can overtake them. It can kind of become...
Yeah, you become a citizen.
Yeah, of that music.
Yes.
And I think you're already there. I don't think you're on your way. I think you're there. You really paid... What'd you pay, 20 years worth of dues in Europe before you got here?
Yeah, like 18 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of an apprenticeship, you know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're a journeyman now. Speaking of that, while I got you all plugged in and everything, why don't we hear another one?
Okay.
Because this show is amazing. And the next time, you're going to be back at the Poorhouse, I think, for another Monday night sometime soon.
Yeah, I'm doing the first Mondays of the month.
Oh, every first Monday of the month?
Yeah.
All right, so that'll be a week from this Monday. You'll be at the Poorhouse Bistro in San Jose by yourself, and I encourage everybody to get it. It's a 6 to 9 show. It's an early show, and it's just amazing. Folks got to go out and see you. Adrian Costa is the guest. Adrian, take it away.
So long, how I hate to see you go. So long, how I hate to see you go. And the way that I will miss you, I guess you will never know. We've been together so long to have to separate this way. We've been together so long to have to separate this way. I'm gonna let you go head on, baby. Pray that you come back home someday. Just a little more time. Oh yeah,
Adrian Costa, you can see him live around the Bay Area. I played Fillmore last night. He'll be at the Poorhouse Bistro a week from Monday, the first Monday of every month, by himself. And right now I do have to let you know about a special announcement. This portion of KZSU's broadcast is being underwritten by the Long Beach Bayou and Blues Festival, taking place the weekend of June 22nd and 23rd at Rainbow Lagoon Park in Long Beach, California, where Cajun, Zydeco, and blues music will be featured. Headliners will include Brian Jack and the Zydeco Gamblers, JoJo Reed and the Happy Hill Zydeco Band, Sun Pie Barnes, and many more. Festival includes a dedicated kids' fun area, parade, Cajun food, and dancing. For more information, hit them up on the web at longbeachbayouandbluesfestival.com. Thanks for the underwriting there. And back with Adrian Costa now. Adrian, that's amazing. That's Lowell Folsom's Reconsider. And sounds like you've absorbed all the different styles, the West Coast, the New Orleans, the Lowdown, the Texas. Let's talk a little bit about in Europe. So when you got that first gig,
mm-hmm.
and these were all guys, Spanish guys. This was a indigenous Spanish blues band?
Yeah, in the very beginning.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got the job with them.
Yes.
That worked out okay. And where did that take you from there? Did you guys just stay in Spain, or did you start touring Europe?
We were playing in Spain, but it was a really nice time, and it was a great band. The name of the band, it was Tonky Blues Band. And Tonky de la Peña gave us the opportunity to play with real great musicians. And for me and Marcos Coll, the harmonica player, my friend, it was such a big thing that we could imagine that we could be in that situation just with 20 years old playing with. Buddy Miles, who was one of my favorite musicians, drummer, and singer.
You were backing up bigger stars, too,
yes,
huh?
Yes, and we played a lot of tours with Mick Taylor.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Who had just left the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so for us, it was like, it was such a trip.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And was that just around Spain, or did you guys venture out?
No, it was the band that they used
Over Europe.
In Spain.
Oh, in Spain. Mm-hmm. Okay, right, when they came to Spain.
Yes.
And then, eventually, you broke out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And was it you went to France first and then Germany?
No. We went straight to Germany.
Okay.
And
when you say we, was that the whole band, or?
Me and my friend, Marcos Coll.
Okay.
The first gigs we had in Germany, it was in with the whole band.
Okay.
But a couple of weeks later, after the first tour, they went back to Spain, and so me and my friend Marcos, we decided to stay around and try to see something different, try to do something with different musicians.
So you basically quit the band, and
yes.
You said, we're staying here.
Yes.
And what was it about Germany?
It was in Munich, and so we...
Was it a real good music scene, or did you have some connections there?
It is a great scene over there. You can find a lot of great musicians. We get in touch with George Green, who was... he is a great drummer and a great singer. So we started playing with him. We put the band together, and it was a lot of fun. He was a great singer, so two singers in the same band. He's a hell of a drummer. So, I saw videos, him and Lightning Hopkins.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you say this guy's name is George Green?
George Green. He's from Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, and mm-hmm. So he lives in Germany?
Yeah, he lives in
African-American fellow?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
He used to play with Lightning?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I bet there's a lot of buried treasures in Europe, speaking of folks.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, I met a bunch of them.
Did you run across Big Bones?
No.
You didn't?
No, I didn't.
He was in Germany for a minute. He's a harmonica player from here.
Uh-huh.
He made a great record out there. He had a bigger band. I don't know exactly what year it was.
Yeah, in Germany you can find a lot of great musicians like Little Willie Littlefield.
Oh, is he live in Germany?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought he was in the Netherlands. There was a funny story about that. He lived in San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
And he even had a... he had basically retired.
Mm-hmm.
He would go to Europe and play, come back here. He's married.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a piano lounge gig in San Jose that, you know, just modest, nothing mm-hmm. big. And life, had, you know, when he went over to Europe, he was a well-known rhythm and blues star. Over here, not as much known. And the folklore story went that he had a girlfriend over there.
Mm-hmm.
But he's married over here.
Mm-hmm.
And he went over for a third, fourth, fifth time, whatever. And he called back home, and his wife found the box of love letters from his girlfriend under the bed. And asked him what was he going to do about it, and he never came back home. he just stayed in Europe, and he's still alive, right?
Oh yes, yeah, sure.
So
he's
you
still
met
rocking
him
in the place.
You met Little Willie Littlefield in Germany.
Oh yes, and
he's got to be like 80 years old now.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where he lives, but probably he lives in Netherlands. But what's for sure is he's playing in Germany all the time.
He stays busy there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about the language barrier? So here you are from Spain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you speak or know anything of German at all?
Oh, not at all.
So when you got there and you quit the band and said, you guys go back home, we're staying here, how did that work out with the language barrier? I'm curious about that.
Well, Germany is a country where a lot of people speak good English.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
So you know, that was our passport.
You're meeting Americans too, expats.
Yeah,
right.
Right. In fact, the bass player was from Texas.
Wow.
And the drummer from Mobile, Alabama. So you know,
I never thought I would say it, but thank God for racism in America, for Europe's sake. You know, no, I don't thank God for racism in America, but it's so funny because the racism here chased so many people, mm-hmm. musicians especially, and even sports guys,
mm-hmm.
basketball and even
right.
football.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people left because of racism, and I guess Europe benefited from it, didn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean. The stories that I've been listening was like, you know, back in the days, you know, they asked them where do you want to go? You want to go to to jail or you want to go to the army? So
yeah.
They say, I go to the army.
Yeah.
And say, okay. And I heard that you're a great musician. You can play it in the jazz band of the army. And
yeah.
And they say, okay, great. So you know, they sent it to Germany.
That's right. We're still occupying Germany after 65 years.
Well, what happened is that probably they thought that it would be just for a while, but then
they got over there.
Yeah, and probably you have a girlfriend. And
sure.
You got kids. And
well, you know what they didn't have? They didn't have the same discrimination that they had back home.
Yeah, absolutely.
They got treated completely differently.
Yeah.
And sorry
and
to say.
And get paid. And,
sure,
mm-hmm,
sure. So. Sorry to say that discrimination still exists today. But out of that came this music that we love so much. Now, well, we hate the discrimination, but, man, thank goodness for the blues, huh?
Yes. And blues is just it's a style of music. They got a lot to say, and that's good for
yeah, sure
for music.
And it translates too, doesn't it? They really understand it in Europe.
Well, Germany is a country that they really like blues and jazz music.
Really?
Yeah, they love it, and you can find a lot of festivals. Well, you can find blues festivals all over Europe.
Yeah.
But Germany is, it's a place where they really know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's get back on you now. So you and your partner got in with this drummer. And you said the bass player was from Texas, and you formed a band, started
mm-hmm.
playing.
Mm-hmm.
And where did life take you from there?
Well, after 6 months in Munich, we decided to move to a different scene. So we heard that Berlin, it was real cool.
Yeah.
And at that time, it was the cheapest city in Europe.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You could rent an apartment for $200.
Oh man!
Even less than that.
Oh wow!
In downtown. So
wow.
Yeah. So we moved over there. We met a lot of musicians. It was a lot of places to play, a lot of things to do, and very cheap. So we thought it was the perfect place. And besides that, it's very cheap to fly from there. So it was a perfect center for us, you know,
mm-hmm.
to fly it all over Europe because
but easier than the train, right?
Oh yeah,
because the train goes everywhere, but it's probably more of a chore.
Yeah,
right?
If you want to go to Spain, it's gonna take a couple of days,
right?
And so, yeah, it was great. We continued working a lot in Spain during those years, but
going back home,
mm-hmm, and working a lot in Spain with our German band. Then in Berlin, we met Chris Runnemer, and that's why the other day we were talking about that record.
We're going to get into that in the second hour of this interview too. It's a brand new record now, but it was actually created in the last say 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian Runnemer is a piano player. He's got this new record out that we're going to talk about in the next. But mention this when you met him. He's an amazing piano player. He's really in that old style.
Yeah, I think he's I think he's the best blues piano player in Europe, but I don't know all of them. But
saying a lot. You've probably seen a lot of them, too.
Well, what I can say is the real deal. He plays, he showed me a lot of things. He made me understand the blues in different terms. And for example, this project, Walter Davis, I don't think that's a style easy to play it on piano.
Not at all.
Because those bass lines are pretty crazy.
And, yes.
And the timing is kind of, it's real dramatic. So I think he's one of the few people can play that stuff. So that's why the record came out so good, and you can find a lot of great musicians, and he did a great job.
Yeah, we're going to get into that record in the second hour, because you're going to be here for all the way till noon and for 2 hours. But when you met him, did you start playing with him right away?
Yeah, we started playing because he was impressed about our energy. And so it was like, it was real... nice feeling, you know. For us, it was you don't find piano players in Spain, probably nowadays, but not when we were living there.
Mm-hmm. Was he living in Spain?
No, he lives in Berlin.
Okay. Yeah, Berlin. But you were able to get together with him and take him to Spain.
Oh yeah, we played in Spain many times.
Wow.
And so for us, it was like different sound, different attitude. And it's always a pleasure to play with Chris.
Let's do this. Why don't you play something that you were influenced by from meeting him? Something live now. You know, something that something that you played with him off this Walter Davis record. Reach back in your memory, and like you said, he had a major influence on your blues education, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So reach back in your memory and play something from that time when, you know, it really kind of, it sounds like he kind of changed your life at some point.
Yeah, I remember when I met him, I was playing the classic Next Time You See Me.
Okay.
And he was like, hey, man, those lyrics are crazy. You can't sing that song that way. So that night, I remember we went to his place and just talking, listening, and drinking something, and he was like, hey man, I'm gonna write it down for you. And I remember that day, next day I already played the song right. I was listening. So
okay.
He was like, next time you see me, things won't be the same. And next time you see me, things won't be the same. And if I hurt you, my darling, you only got yourself to blame. Like a true crusade, all that shines is not gold. Like a true crusade, now all that shines is not gold. Like a good book, say you have to reach just what you sold. And now you lied, cheated, what oh for so long? Yeah, my mind, now you lied, cheated, what oh for so long? You are the wrong doing woman, and now the queen is on your throne.
Adrian Costa right here on KZSU live in the studio. You can see him do that the first Monday of every month at the Poorhouse Bistro in San Jose all by himself. And you worked last night. Are you playing tonight somewhere?
Yeah, we have a private party in San Jose.
Oh, very cool. Mm-hmm. And just briefly, what you got any gigs coming up this week, folks you know about?
We're going to play at the Paradise Grill from 3 to 6 on Sunday.
Where's that?
Me, Dennis... that's in Capitola.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, and we love to play
you
there.
You and Dennis Dove?
Yes.
It's a whole band?
No, I think just a duo.
Oh, just the two?
Yeah, we love to do it. And, you know, I mean, one of my favorite guitar players is J.V. Lenoir. And so we do that kind of, I mean, it's not, in fact, we don't play nothing from him, but but it's that kind of feeling, you know,
sure.
Guitar and drums. I love that duo, and
sure.
We're two singers, so, you know, he's doing the backgrounds, I'm doing backgrounds.
Oh,
so
very good.
Sounds a bit bigger than just a simple duo.
Uh-huh. That's tomorrow from 3 to 6 in Capitola in the Loop, and it's called the Paradise Grill now.
Mm-hmm.
One of the old clubs down there. It was under another name for many years. Adrian Costa is a guest all the way till the end of the show today, till noon, and in the second half of this two-hour blues excursion, we're going to get into some releases you helped produce, you played on, and stuff like that. And let's get back to your travels in Europe. Germany, you mentioned that you went up to Berlin.
Yes.
And you met Christian Randenberg,
mm-hmm.
started playing.
Yes.
Where did that take you from there?
Well, we started playing all over the place.
Real blues, real low down. It sounds like you got kicked into another gear when you met him, right?
Yeah, because, you know, it's hard to, I mean, you can play Chicago blues with no piano. You can do it straight, but, you know.
It's nicer with a piano, right?
Yeah, I think it gives you that touch, you know, of the real Chicago classic blues.
Sure,
and
sure.
And so with him, the band starts sounding completely different. And when we get into a funk music, you know, the piano was gives you the elegant
sure.
thing and those funny chords, you know,
yeah.
that they play. So, you know, we start playing in Spain, in France, in Switzerland, Portugal, Netherlands, you know.
And you guys are making records all this time, huh?
Yeah, because Chris, well, he lives in Berlin and in Osnabrück. He's living in this. Osnabrück is a little city close to Netherlands.
Okay.
And in Germany, that it has a great music scene. There's a lot of great musicians over there.
Interesting.
And one of the best jam sessions in the country.
Really?
If it's not the best one. So Chris is running that jam for many years, and he got a great studio over there. So we decided to start working on a new record, and Chris was thinking that it was a good idea to produce the CD, and so he put a great band together. He called his friend Herb Hardesty from
he's a legend.
Yeah, he is.
Was he in Fats Domino's band?
Yes.
Yes,
like
right.
40 years.
Does he live there now?
No, I think he lives in Las Vegas.
Okay, so they brought him out?
Yeah, he was on tour in Germany. So, you know, he called him and say, hey, pass by to the studio. So he was recording all the horns in the record and talking to us about how to do it, what not to do, which is the
wow.
most important.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's a real musical education there to rub up against one of those guys.
Oh, yeah. Not just for us. He started talking to the engineer and telling him what digital, I don't know about
how to set everything.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, you better do it with this. And they start talking Chinese
wow.
to me because I don't. You know, I don't understand.
He talked about running the board and like
yeah,
where to set
and,
the mics
yeah,
and all that,
and what program he should have on a computer and
wow.
stuff like that. I was like, look at Grandpa. You know, it was like a wow. I was very impressed.
A real
know.
Musical education.
Yeah, in all terms. Yeah.
And this is a record you and Christian Randenberg did, and it's been out, right?
Oh yeah, this record we put it out. I think it was 2008.
So you mentioned when we were talking when we first met, I didn't realize you, I didn't know too much about you, and I asked you how many records you had, and you looked at me and said, 8.
Well, yeah, with Los Reyes del Cabo, I think we had.
The stuff you did all in Europe?
Yeah, I think we had.
There's about 8 altogether?
Five with them, and some other records that I'm as a guitar player. And well, this year I'm gonna put out another 3. So
wow. Mm-hmm. You're working on three right now?
Yeah, because I got a project, more soul, more dance music.
Uh-huh.
That I'm recording with Keith Anderson in Grisland Records.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing a great job. We still have to finish it. But
so you got a soul record, you got a blues record too?
And we got two blues records. One that is already recorded, and another one that I want to do real, like an all-time Chicago blues band.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we're looking forward to those. You couldn't bring any today because of copyright infringements, but we got enough recorded material on you. We're going to play in the second hour. Why don't we do this before we run out of time in this hour? Let's get you to play another one, man.
Mm-hmm.
I know you got it in you. This is Adrian Costa, right here on KZSU Stanford, live in the studio.
The girl you love don't treat you right sometimes. Shouldn't be mine, shouldn't be mine. You know the girl you love don't treat you right sometimes. Shouldn't be mine, shouldn't be mine. That's the stuff you better watch because your girl is a lie. You know the girl you love has stayed out all night long. Shouldn't be mine, shouldn't be mine. You know the girl you love has stayed out all night long. Shouldn't be mine, shouldn't be mine. That's the stuff you better watch because your girl is wrong. I need my hair, go get my coat. I can stop my only baby, you don't want it anymore. Stop, you better watch. That's the stuff you better watch. That's the stuff you better watch. Don't wanna lose your girl. Oh, don't wanna lose her now. All right. Give it to me now. I need my hair. Go get my coat. I can suffer on it, baby, you don't want it anymore. Stop, you better watch. That's the stuff you better watch. That's the stuff you better watch. Don't wanna lose your girl. You know the girl you love treat you right sometimes. Shouldn't be mine, shouldn't be mine. You know the girl you love treat you right sometimes. Shouldn't be mine, shouldn't be mine. That's the stuff you better watch because your girl is a lie. You know the girl you love has stayed out all night long. Shouldn't be mine, shouldn't be mine. You know the girl you love has stayed out all night long. Shouldn't be mine, shouldn't be mine. That's the stuff you better watch because your girl is treating you wrong. All right. Yes. Shouldn't be mine.
Adrian Costa right here on KZSU Live. You can see him do that the first Monday every month by himself at the Poorhouse Bistro in San Jose. Let's get back into this and finish up this hour. And I really wanted to kind of get to know you. So you've been here about 2.5 years?
Yes.
Let's make that connection from all your playing in Europe. What was it 2, 3, 4 years ago that set up you coming over here? How did that work out? So you were in Europe playing 16, 17, 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? One day you just woke up and said, I'm going to go to America. Or how did that work? How did you end up here?
Well, I was Germany. I spent 7 years in Germany. So mm-hmm. I was in a need for something different. And
you pretty much covered the whole European scene, right? After 7 years, you said you were touring all over, you know, Switzerland.
Yeah, yeah, some countries that I didn't play in, and I don't know anything about it. But I was in the mood to really change the whole thing. And
you mentioned Snooks Eagland early on too. And,
I want to see what's going on in over here. You know, that was my main, you know, project. And so I talked to my wife, and we decided to to look for something, for a job over here, and just move over here and see what's going on.
So how long have you been married?
4 years.
Okay. Was that a big change for you as far as plan-wise? Because a musician, always on the road, you know, that kind of life. Did your life change after you got married, music-wise?
Not really. I mean...
just kept playing, kept touring, everything was cool?
That's the way... I mean, you know, I've been doing this all my life. That's, you know, she likes what I do, and you know, we don't need to change anything.
Sure. That's great. A lot of times, not a lot, but sometimes when guys get married, things change, and usually because the guy wants to, not because they were forced to. But so you really no bumps in the road there, and you just decided, hey, I want to go check out America. So you just kind of determined it, and your wife ended up with a job here at Stanford.
Yes. So
could have been anywhere in the States. I was here at Stanford.
Yes.
That's and, wild.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you know anything about the Bay Area at all? About the history or anything like that?
Yeah, I had a friend. He was telling me that the Bay Area was one of the most interesting scenes in the country, and I always, you know, I always feel something special for California, and I love the weather.
Yeah, definitely.
And the landscape and everything. So it was, you know, close to the coast, which, you know, I grew up. And
you grew up close to the coast?
Yes. So, you know, to me, it's like, you know, I can say that I start feeling like at home.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And the history of the Bay Area, had you gotten into that at all? Had you investigated that about after World War II? With Lowell Folsom and Pee Wee Creighton.
Oh, yeah.
And Jimmy McCracklin.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole scene here. Yeah. Jimmy T99 Nelson had his first big hit in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I was just playing
T-Bone
from...
Walker.
Yep, T-Bone. T-Bone played right here in Menlo Park, right up the street.
Yeah.
There was a little club here. Yeah, the history. In fact, I'm still learning about stuff about this area. It's not what it used to be, but I think it's... I think it's... You've come here, and Kid Anderson's come here from over across the pond, and it's kind of getting an infusion of this this new, there's a brand new crop of younger cats playing blues now that we didn't have 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's something that is happening in Spain and I guess in Germany too.
Is it?
You know, when I go back to my country, I see a lot of new bands and a lot of young people playing the blues, so... You better stay in good shape because, you know.
Do they know what they're doing, though?
Oh, yeah. They sound great, and there's a lot more clubs that to play, so they have, you know, more work to do, and that's...
More opportunity.
Yeah, that's very important. If you want to develop your style, you need places to play.
Sure,
so,
definitely.
So, yeah, that's something that I think it's... The blues is having a new situation. I think people start getting a lot more interested in it.
Yeah, kind of like in nature, you know, after a fire in the forest.
Right.
You get that new growth coming up.
Yeah, right.
You know, and it just, you can't stop it. It just comes up, and there it is. It's just right out in front of you, man.
Fresh.
Adrian Koss is a guest for this hour and the next. And in the next hour, we're going to get into some of his recorded material. Have you been able to see any more of the States outside the Bay Area?
Well, I was playing six. I mean, the first time I got in this country was we went to Washington, D.C., and New York, and Chicago. Chicago was the place that I spent, you know, more time besides the Bay Area. So
how long were you in Chicago?
I think about a month.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Playing with my friend Aaron Barton, who was the...
I don't know him.
You know Larry Barton?
Oh, Larry Burton?
Yeah. The guitar player?
Yeah.
He's his brother. The bass player.
Aaron Burton. I had him on the studio. I had him in this studio, sitting right on the other side of this glass.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, with Pine Top Perkins in 1996 or 7.
Uh-huh.
And Casey Jones, too.
Uh-huh.
All three of them sitting right on the other side of that glass, staring at
that.
Me. Yeah, they were playing a show that night. Yeah, sure, well, sure. Aaron Burton. Yeah.
So we used to live together in Berlin.
Really?
Yeah, well, together in Chris Rothenberg.
Okay, place. So Aaron was hanging out there?
Yeah, for years.
So you
years.
got a real taste of Chicago then?
Yeah.
He took you around, showed you around?
Yeah, right, because when you have a friend like that and, you know, they can, you know, he can put you in the best place of,
sure.
of the
what
of
did
the
you
club.
Get? What did you get to see in Chicago? What do you remember?
Well, we played in, at Roses.
Really?
We played at Legends.
Oh, and, man.
Yeah, some of
oh, my gosh.
The clubs, yeah.
All right. Did you see Pierre Lecoq and his band, Mississippi Heat?
No.
He's a European transplant harmonica player.
Yeah.
And he's a psychoanalyst or in that field, and he's been there for, and he plays Roses all the time, but
he's
putting out records, and he's one of them guys over there. But Chicago, what about New York? How did you find New York?
Well, it was just a natural stop from Washington, D.C.
So did you know anybody there?
Yeah, we play with our friend Bobby Ratcliffe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He sat right in the chair you're sitting in for the last 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
You play with Bobby?
Yeah, because
his
brother is a very, very good friend of mine.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's
Bruce Ewan.
Okay, he's talked about his
harmonica
brother.
Player.
Oh, that's okay, yes. Because he said his brother tours the world, goes down to South America.
Yes.
He goes to Europe.
Yeah, he's a great harmonica player.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to play with Bobby in New York. So did you meet Brad Vickers, too?
No.
Okay, he's a friend of Bobby's. They play in Manhattan like once a month. They have a little gig there.
Yeah.
But, wow, that's great. Bobby, that guy's a treasure, man.
Yeah, yeah. We met them in Mexico. And
you met Bobby in Mexico?
Yeah, Bobby and his brother.
How long ago?
It was like 5 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
5-6 years ago. And we were playing at the same festival, so we get along just right away.
Yeah.
So you
had a friend in New York.
Yeah.
That is great.
Yeah.
And that D.C., were you able to play in D.C. at all?
Washington? Yeah, yeah. We played all the time over there while we spent a couple of weeks. And
who did you play with in D.C.?
With Big Joe.
Yeah, Big Joe and the Dinoflows.
The
Big Joe Mayer.
Yeah.
Yeah, for many years he was known as Big Joe and the Dinoflows.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, man.
And so it was with Bruce Ewan, Big Joe, me and my brother. My friend and so we started playing and it was a lot of fun, of course, and then Bruce Ewan put us with the Nighthawks just as a guest.
Yeah,
and
sure.
So we did a
Mark Warner.
Yeah, we did a couple of shows in DC, and then we went to Landscape Artscape Festival in
Maryland.
No, that's in
Pennsylvania,
the big city in the coast from Washington D.C.
Baltimore,
yeah.
Okay, sure.
And that was a great festival. We did a good show over there, and then we went to New York, and it was just like I said, it was a natural stop.
Well, you had a major tour here, and this is before you ended up moving to the Bay Area.
Oh yeah, it was like three years before.
Okay, this is a stateside tour you did of D.C., New York, and Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, talking to Adrian Costa, you can catch him the first Monday of every month at the Poorhouse Bistro. He's going to be here for the second hour of this 2-hour excursion. Stand by for more blues. This is KZSU, Stanford. Killer Joe.
Killer Joe.
Killer Joe. This is Adrian Costa, Christian Randenberg on KZSU.
She went downtown to take a look. A man came out and started put her in the book. She's a cool, cool mama. She's a cool. Thank you.
like an evening gown. She's a cuckoo mama. She's a cuckoo mama. She's a cuckoo mama. Anywhere she go. She went downtown to take a look. A man came out the store and put her in the book. She's a cuckoo mama.
And that was Adrian Costa with Christian Randenberg and their band in Berlin. And we're here with Adrian Costa, local blues guitar singer, originally from Spain, in Germany, and all over the place. And now he lives here, and he's been playing this last hour. Now we're going to get into some recorded material. That was, Adrian, that was that record you were talking about that you guys cut with Herb Hardesty.
Yes.
In Christian Randenberg's studio.
Yes.
It was a copy, so it was breaking up, so we had to get off it. But that was you singing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the studio that I was telling you in Osnabrück in Germany, close to Netherlands, and Chris Randenberg is producing that CD and putting the band together, and it was a great time. We had a lot of fun doing it, and Sax Gordon on sax.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And Gordon Beadle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. He's one of the best.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
He's the real deal.
Definitely. How many, did you guys cut more than one record together?
Not with sax.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I mean with you and Christian.
Yeah, with Chris, we did another one. Yeah.
And they're you have these. They're out there, right?
Yes. Yes, you can find it on www.hotsakey.com.
All right. What was the name of the band?
Los Reyes del Cao.
Okay. Say that one more time slow.
Los Reyes del Cao. That okay. means the Knockout Kings.
And so what
Hot Sack, you can find it. HOTSAK.
Okay. And what label was it on? His label?
It's our label in Spain.
Oh, and what's that called?
Hot Sack.
Oh, Hot Sack Records.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now, this is a project. I want you to talk about this. This is a brand new CD that came out from Electrify Records in Canada. But what's happened is Christian got a hold of Electrify and got them to release it. Now, this is a project that's gone back, what, some 5, 6, 7, 8 years?
I think so, yes.
Back to 08 at least, because I think the earliest recording was from 08.
Yeah, Chris been working on this project for quite a long time.
And Jimmy McCracken's on it, and he's dead now. He's been dead about a year or two.
Yes.
And Christian actually interviews Jimmy McCracken in this record, too. And what it is Walter Davis was an incredible piano player and performer in the days when he would play by himself, or maybe a very small band.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a good friend of Jimmy McCracklin's father. He came up in the 30s. And so somehow Christian Randenberg got really connected to the memory of Walter Davis. So he created this new CD called The Walter Davis Project. And it features Charlie Musselwhite playing harmonica on it. It features Billy Boy Arnold playing harmonica on it. It features Keith Dunn, who is an expat from here who's been living in Germany, I think, for a long time. You know Keith, right?
Oh, yes.
And he used
he's
to play.
In that record. He's in the
yes,
record.
Yes, he's on this record.
No, on the one.
Oh, he's on?
Yeah, on the other one.
Oh, with Christian Randenberg?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Keith played here for quite a while. Anyway, features a bunch of great harp players on this new Electrify CD.
Henry Townsend.
Yeah, Henry Townsend, exactly, the St. Louis piano master.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on here on all the Billy Boy Arnold tracks.
Well, not all.
Okay. Not all of them? A lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of them. But
quite a few, right?
Yeah.
And so speak a little bit about this project, what you remember of it. Because like you said, what? When did you record this stuff? 5 years ago?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a great feeling in the studio.
You backing up Billy Boy?
Yes.
And Billy Boy Arnold, having known Simon Williams, he probably knew Walter Davis. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
He knew Sonny Boy Williamson, number one.
Yes.
As a kid.
Mm-hmm. So we get in the studio, and Chris was just like, hey, we're going to cut the record. And me and Alex, the drummer, he's a great drummer, and he's very young. At mm-hmm. that time, he was like, I don't know, 17, 18 years old.
Hmm.
But he was already playing great. I used to hire him for my band, and he was playing real old school drums, and he knew a lot about records and everything. So Chris decided to him to be the drummer on that session, and he did a great job. So we get in the studio. We didn't know anything. We didn't talk about anything. And
he didn't tell you what it was going to be, what his idea was.
No.
Here's Billy Boy Arnold.
Yeah.
And he's going, all right, we're going to cut some tunes.
Yes.
Well, let's listen to a couple of those. What's mm-hmm. the first one we're going to listen to?
I would like to listen to Oh Me, Oh Me Blues.
Okay. Billy Boy Arnold, backed up by Christian Randenberg on piano, backed up by Adrian Costa on guitar. And is the drummer in here too?
Yeah, Alex.
Okay.
That gleam in your eyes,
la, 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 la,
bright as the stars above. That gleam in your eyes, bright as the stars above. You will always be my baby. You always will be my love. Oh me, oh me. Oh me, oh me, oh my. Oh me, oh me, oh me, oh my. You know I'll always love this woman until the day I die. I don't want to hurt your feelings. All the little things you do is wrong. I don't want to hurt your feelings. About the little things you do is wrong. Now if I ever scold you, baby, you know I didn't mean no harm. Please believe that I love you. You mean everything in the world to me. Please believe that I love you. You mean everything in the world to me. Now if there's anybody else, I wonder who could it be.
bright as the stars above. That gleam in your eye, bright as the stars above. You is okay with me, baby. You always will be my love. Oh me, oh me, oh me, oh my. Oh me, oh me. Oh me, oh my. I will always love this woman until the day I die.
Apparently there's Phantoms in the Machine today, and we did try to play that record, Billy Boy Arnold with Adrian Costa. Keith Dunn was on the harmonica on that track we heard, right?
Yes.
And that CD will be going in our main rotation this coming week, but it was acting funny, so we're going to have to check it out. But speak about that CD a little bit more now that you had a chance. Because when we met 2 weeks ago, I had that CD on me, and I asked you if you had records out, and you said, well, yeah, but I got one that I'm really proud of, but I don't know. And I said, what is it? And you said, well, it's Walter Davis. And I said, oh, you mean this one? Mm-hmm. And I pulled it out on you. Remember that?
Yes.
And you were amazed. You said, wow, wait, we recorded this 5 years ago. When did it come out? I said, just today. We just got it. And so you hadn't heard it, right?
Yeah, no, I didn't hear it.
Did he even call you and tell you he was putting it out?
No.
That guy. that guy.
No, Chris, I have to call him, but...
he didn't even send you one.
No, but you know, it's just, it was just like 3 weeks ago.
Well, that it came out. That, yeah. What that means is, though, they were in... they took them about a year for the whole process.
Yes.
You know, contact the label, and mm-hmm. they had to hear it and approve it and master it and all that.
Well, you know, I was playing last week with Mark Hummel.
Yeah.
And he was telling me that the record will come out with Electrify.
He said that?
Yeah.
So he knew. Yeah, because he knows them quite
mm-hmm.
well.
So he is one of his artists, mm-hmm. their artists. So... you know, he was telling me that he was looking forward to see this, and so I knew that it will be out in a near future, but I didn't know that it was, you know. So I was so impressed when you showed it to me.
Yeah, definitely, you're on it, and it's going to be in the main rotation. You're going to have a recording out here in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I mean, not for me. I'm happy that you know,
Christian got it out.
Yeah, Chris got this record done, and He put a lot of effort on this project, and I think it's a great blues CD.
It sure is. He even recorded Jimmy McCracklin before he died.
Yeah, that's something.
And he interviewed him. There's about a 10-minute interview. He had a conversation, and Jimmy McCracklin talked about knowing Walter Davis, the guy who the CD is all about, when he was a kid. Mm-hmm. Walter Davis was a friend of his father's,
mm-hmm.
and he said Walter Davis kind of helped bring him up musically.
Well, you know, Jimmy, he is a legend.
He sure was. I had him on a few times. Mm-hmm. He was an amazing guy.
Yes.
What a life. Oh, my gosh. That guy saw a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And lived to be 90.
Mm-hmm.
90 years old.
Yes.
Talking to Christian, talking to Adrian Costa here on KZSU. What we're going to do now is the calendar, and then Adrian's going to come back. And, Adrian, you get ready because you're going to play some live. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is Adrian Costa.
You know, Bert, we were talking about Snooks Eaglin. I played one song that Snooks used to play from Alan Toussaint, one of my favorite songwriters.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to do this one from Snooks 2, a song from Fats Domino saying, "Going to the River."
All right. Adrian Costa on KZSU.
Going to the river, jump overboard and drown. Well, I'm going to the river, jump overboard and drown. For the girl I love, she just have left this town. When she left me, I bowed my head and cried. She left me on by my head and cried. I never thought I would be the one to cry. If you see my mama, tell her goodbye for me. If you see my mama, tell her goodbye for me. I'm tired of living in misery. That's why I'm going to the river, jump overboard and drown. Well, I'm going to the river, jump overboard and drown. 'Cause the girl I love, she just have left this town. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. If you see my mama, tell her goodbye for me. See my mama, tell her goodbye for me. 'Cause I'm tired of living in misery. That's why I'm going to the river, jump overboard and drown. Well, I'm going to the river, jump overboard and drown. Girl I love, she just have left this mama, 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 yeah.
Adrian Costa right here on KZSU. You can catch that particular show, Adrian by himself, the first Monday of every month at the Poorhouse Bistro in San Jose. And, Adrian, do you get a chance to do that in any other clubs around the Bay? Or is it mostly with other guys when you play?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like to hire the band. I like to play with, you know, with my friends. But I like to do my solo things. Sometimes I use my loop and I can do, you know, I can fake a band.
Yeah, you have a, I heard you do that. It's great.
Yeah, and, you know, especially for for the blues stuff. Like, I mean, if you play Jimmy Reed, if you play something from Jimmy Reed, you're gonna play like this the whole. If you're the guitar player of the band, you're gonna play the whole. You're gonna play that all the time, you know?
Right?
So that stuff, I think, is it's a cool stuff if you do with the loop and you then you can sing and you can do little things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Adrian Costa, the guest. Now let's get into this guitar crusher, because this is very interesting. Slip it in one of those drawers there, the CD, and actually that bottom one's just fine. Guitar Crusher is kind of a mystery in America, and turns out he's been living in, what, Germany for a long time?
Oh, yeah. I think he moved to Germany back in 1982.
There you go, for over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And originally, is he from Texas?
No, he's from North Carolina.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And he had like a couple of 45s out here that are infamous and kind of underground stuff that have appeared on some collections.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a lot known about him. You set this up. What do you know about Guitar Crusher? What did you learn from him and set this up before you play this stuff? And this is a CD that you basically helped produce of his old stuff, right?
Yeah, well, I didn't do nothing.
Not the production of the original music, but you helped put the package together.
Well, yeah, because Crusher was showing me all the 45s that he had. And
he didn't have a CD of any of them.
Yeah, right. So I was thinking, hey, you should put that on a CD and sell them and show the world what you got. And
yeah.
So I talked to our record label in Spain, Gastelupeco Hotsack, and yeah, they think Sara, the owner, he thinks it's one of his best records.
Wow.
I'm sure about it.
So before we start playing some Guitar Crusher, speak about this guy when you met him. What really got you about this guy? What's the deal? He plays harp and guitar, right?
Yes. And well, he's a great singer, and he can show you how to do the real old school. And he got a great show. He really can get the audience attention, and yeah, he's a great entertainment. He's a great person. He's a very good friend of mine, and yeah, I love Crusher, and I always be, you know, I love to be in his band sometimes.
Did you guys record anything together?
Yeah, he's on the record that that Chris produced.
Oh, really? The one that wouldn't play?
Yes.
Oh, darn
Hot
it.
Team Roof.
Well, you'll have to bring that back some other time.
Yes.
Well, when we get it all together. Well, let's do this. Let's listen to Guitar Crusher.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is a legendary cat. I've heard a lot about him. I haven't heard a lot of his stuff, but it's great to be sitting in the studio with somebody that actually knows him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here it is, right here on KZSU.
Listen to the sound, honking, do the stopping all around. What about me? What about me? Making it all up to you. Never again will I ever, ever be untrue. But I was so weak by her charm. My heart went blindly on. And oh, darling, deep down, I know I was wrong. What about me? What about me? Making all your dreams come true. This is the first and the last time I will ever be untrue. Can one little mistake cause us to separate? Oh, darling, deep down, I know I was wrong. Oh, darling, how could I have been so weak? A man is known to be strong. Why couldn't I have held my head up high and let temptation slowly pass me by? What about me? What about me? Giving all my heart to you. This is the first and the last time I will ever be untrue. What about me? What about me? If you let me, I'll make it all up to you. Baby, what about me? What about me? Baby, I just want to make it all up to you. What about me? What about me? I just wanna make it all up to you. What about me?
You don't have to cry, pretty baby. Have to shed a tear. Oh, you don't have to cry, pretty baby. Girl, you don't have to shed a tear. Listen now. All you gotta do is pick up your phone and call me. And before you hang up, darling, I'll be there. Listen now. Well, if you miss me all that much now, why do you wait so long to call? Miss me all that much, baby. Why do you wait so long to call? Well, you know that I'm told you. All you
fun than the sum of your friends. They said you said the pain is killing. Said if we didn't get back together now. Tears before they fall.
That's Guitar Crusher, A Blast from the Past. That's the name of the CD on Hot Sack Records, HOTSAK, out of Spain. And I want to thank Adrian Costa for bringing that in. Adrian, I want to thank you for your time today.
Oh, thank you for calling me.
Thank you. And you're going to have to come back. And when you get them two new records out, or whatever record comes out, definitely come back for that. We're going to see you down at the Poorhouse. And you let me know every week where you're going to be playing. I'll put it on my calendar.
Absolutely.
And just any other stuff you want to shout out real quick to the listening audience here in the Bay Area or around the world? They are listening on the internet.
Well, I'm happy that people like you keep playing the blues on the radio and people can listen to it when in a car or in the house. And that's one of the most beautiful things that I've been doing, listening to the radio since I was a kid. And it's one of the most fascinating things I know.
That's great. Adrian Costa, he will be back. Check him out first Monday for sure every month, 6 to 9 p.m. at the Poorhouse Bistro. We're out.